The following KOPN podcast is made possible by the generous donations from listeners like you. Please consider a donation to listener-supported community radio, KOPN. You can donate securely online at kopn.org. Thank you. Hi, welcome to Food Sleuth Radio, where we help you think beyond your plate. I'm Melinda Hemmelgarn, a registered dietitian and investigative nutritionist on a mission to connect the dots between food, health, and agriculture and find food truth. And I am honored today to welcome Mr. Reginaldo Haslett Marroquin. He is the co-founder and CEO of Tree Range Farms based in Northfield, Minnesota. He engages immigrants, farmers, and established agricultural entrepreneurs in his life's work, which is designing, refining, and championing a global model for poultry-powered, planet-cooling, scalable, and regenerative agriculture. After a decade of research and development, countless partners and farmers around the globe, along with degrees in agroecology and business management, Mr. Haslett Marroquin is in a unique position to help the next generation of farmers and businesses bring back the hope of a future of restoration. He launched the nonprofit Regenerative Agriculture Alliance and co-founded the Tree Range Chicken brand, which have built the foundation for successful regenerative design and business. Welcome, Rehi.
Thank you. It's so great to be here with you.
You know, I've heard you speak at the Midwestern Organic and Sustainable Education Service annual meeting. I heard you speak at the Real Organic Project. And most recently, you were one of the keynote speakers at the University of Missouri's Agroforestry Symposium. And I felt like your vision for regeneration and hope for the future is why I wanted to bring you to our listeners. So thank you for being with me.
And just to be clear, it's not my vision. All I'm doing is channeling the vision of hundreds of thousands of ancestors who saw the world differently from an indigenous perspective. And I'm just one of those lucky people who were willing to listen to that voice and willing to transfer that knowledge and wisdom and bring it into the current conundrum we have with a planet where a system is claiming to feed the world while destroying the very foundation on which we depend to feed the world. And that is just not acceptable. So I'm just the voice, in a way, for those voices that have been quietly shut down one by one as we embark in this never-ending attempt at claiming their knowledge and putting it forward in a way that discredits and invalidates and disrespects that ancestral inheritance that we owe to those folks who have been before us. So all I'm doing is bringing that vision and then framing it so that we can use it to intelligently solve the current problems we are facing with food and agriculture and the destruction of the planet in the name of food.
I am so glad that you explained that, and I'm grateful for your ability to bring that vision forth and to help us think differently, as you say. That explanation brings me to the topic of the word regeneration. For me, it seems like a word that is being kicked around, much like sustainable is, without a true definition. It's being co-opted, in other words, by people who see profit around that word. And I would really like for you to help us understand what regenerative agriculture really means.
Well, first of all, we have to step back quite a few steps because when you look at it right in front of your face, regeneration or regenerative, it looks like a word. It looks like something you go and do in the field. It looks like something that you just go and start doing. And so we want to define what is it that we are supposed to go and start doing. And that's the wrong approach. And this is why. Regeneration is the result of a process. And that process needs to be codified within a series of principles, criteria, indicators, verifiers, a whole ecosystem, a way of thinking is a way of knowing is a way of codifying the relationships between us, among us, and with the other living systems of the planet. It really isn't something that we should define. Our responsibility is to allow it to define us. And that is the big mistake that is being made right now, that in the urge to capitalize on the buzzword regenerative and regeneration, we are actually colonizing the word and using it to appropriate ancestral knowledge, take what makes money, put it into a brand, or putting into the language of a new platform for a website for a company or whatever it is, and ignoring what it actually means. Not how to define it, but what it means. And what does it mean to work for regeneration, to be regenerative, to do the things that are necessary to decolonize our minds and to restructure the systems that we have built from that colonized mind, which are designed to extract, to appropriate, to exploit, and consequently to destroy. And so that is really where this comes from, is a way of thinking, is a way of living, that by codifying the ancestral systems and indigenous knowledge and intellect into new ways of relating, into how we relate to the land and how do we define those practices on the land from a perspective of who we are, rather than a definition that spells out a few practices, but rather from who we are. That understanding is critical in order for us to engage in the process that then we can codify the ways by which we achieve regeneration. And that is really intellectually almost, it almost gives you an intellectual headache when you start thinking about that, because, you know, based on what I have heard before, sometimes folks listen to the what I just said and go like, well, wait a minute, I can't do anything with that. And yes, it is true. It's very hard to become part of a regenerative system if you don't understand the context and the concept of what regeneration is in the first place. And by the way, it's not a set of practices on the land. It's not a supply chain that you just named regenerative. It is actually a recodification of everything from those relationships on the land to the relationship with capital, with each other, with those who eat the food that we bring all the way through the supply chain to the market. It's all of those relationships, and then our relationship with capital and wealth. How is the ownership, control, and governance of that capital structured within a supply chain? All of those things are part of a regenerative way of being, of operating, of engineering, and of relating. And if we are not going to do the whole process, we are not going to become or achieve those regenerative outcomes. That's why we can't reduce it to a definition, but rather to a way of doing things and living and believing and knowing. And then, sure, to that way, we bring in the knowledge and the science that is critical to then codify the structures and the practices and the things that we'll do day to day.
It's hard to embrace a different way of living when our culture here in the United States seems to be so driven by capital, where the economic benefits are placed on equal footing with ecological health. Do you know what I mean?
I totally do. I agree that it's difficult. We are creatures of habit. We are pack animals at the end of the day. We come together with those who agree with us. And then we are also in a world where 80% of the biodiversity of the planet, on less than 20% of the total land base of the planet, is actually operated on the basis of those regenerative ways of being by indigenous peoples who have preserved it and have refused to fall into the extractive colonizing way of thinking and doing things. So, yes, it's hard, but it isn't as if we don't know how to do it. And the reason I say that with confidence is because we know that we are born indigenous to the planet. We are made of the elements of the earth. We are indigenous to the earth, all of us. And all of us, I don't mean all of us people. All of us living organisms in the planet are indigenous to this planet. But we are also organisms, which means we are born, we grow up to adulthood, we reproduce, and we seek to perpetuate our species and expand, meaning we are also colonizers. See, that's where the colonization mindset comes from. And if we only feed the colonizer in us, since we are born with both the indigenous and with an innate intelligence to understand the planet as it is, not as we want to bend it to be as colonizers, since we are born both, is the one that we feed, the one that wins. And unfortunately, the colonizer has that immediate reward, that sugar rush, that fat rush, that salt rush that we are now codified into our food and into media, into sound bites, into the words we speak. Everything is now fast, fast food, fast everything. So we have been feeding the colonizers so heavily that we don't even recognize our true self and the true taste of delicious food that comes from understanding that food coming through the plate to us is simply an expression of energy of the planet's capacity to transform it from non-edible to us, but edible to millions of other creatures on the planet, microbes especially, and eventually edible to us as an expression of energy that regenerates our body, our mind, and our spirit. That is not that hard to understand, I don't think, at least. And so understanding that is the foundation of the regenerative concept of being and living. And if we do that, suddenly we start vomiting all the poison that we have been putting into our bodies, minds, and spirit. And guess what? It feels awesome. It feels healthy, gives you energy. You become more of an expression of your true self. So yes, it's hard because we are addicted to the fast and the quick and the sense that I am better, that I own more, that I have more, that I can buy more, that I can take more. We're so addicted to it that yes, it is hard. But when we do it, it's way beyond your wildest imagination of how quickly you actually achieve happiness and self-fulfillment.
That's so true. I want to take a moment to lead people to www.regenagalliance.org. And I'm going to provide that website for others who want to really study what you are describing. You have a wonderful webpage with the answer to what is regenerative agriculture, and you beautifully explain these points. If you're just joining us, you're tuned into Food Sleuth Radio. We are speaking today with Mr. Reginaldo Haslett Marroquin. He is the co-founder and CEO of Tree Range Farms. It's based in Northfield, Minnesota, but it is a global model for poultry-powered, planet-cooling, scalable, and regenerative agriculture. He also launched the nonprofit Regenerative Agriculture Alliance and co-founded the Tree Range Chicken brand. And he has built the foundation for successful regenerative design and business. Okay, Rehi, let's take a trip to Northfield, Minnesota. I would like for you to paint a picture of Tree Range Farms for our listeners. What does it look like? What does it feel like? What does it smell like?
Great. So first of all, when you go to the store, the food co-ops especially, and some restaurants, but the food co-ops especially in the Twin Cities and larger Minnesota area, you will find Tree Range chicken. Basically, what you will find is a delicious chicken that tastes like chicken is supposed to. Grandmas especially have been very impressed with the taste and integrity of the final chicken that shows up at the store, because some of our elders still remember what real chicken tasted like. That's what you find when you go to the store and you look at for tree-range chicken. But that, in a way, is the final expression of a whole ecosystem of businesses, of not, where there is a nonprofit, and there is within that ecosystem of businesses, tree-range farms. So tree-range farms is the for-profit arm of that ecosystem of businesses that contracts, aggregates, processes, markets, and distributes the product, this chicken that comes out of these farms, where farmers are trained on a very specialized way of bringing chicken back into its natural habitat, the jungle, and then raising them according to a very specific protocol that allows the chicken to be free, to range, and to forage, and to be protected by trees that cover them. Once that chicken is grown to 70 days, it goes to a processor owned by our nonprofit partner. It comes back to Tree Range Farms, and then we take that chicken and move it through the supply chain to the people who want to support this kind of regenerative supply chain. Now, there's only three of us right now in the company. We are a one-year-old company. This is our second year in actual business, and we are now moving into most of the Twin Cities market, and then beyond that, Madison, Wisconsin, Milwaukee, Chicago, and other cities in this region. This is our target market right now. When you take tree-range chicken into your home and you serve it on your plate, you can be assured there is a high level of integrity throughout that whole supply chain that brought you that chicken. And yes, it's more expensive, but it's not more expensive than food is supposed to be. It's simply a price with integrity. It's priced in a way so that everybody's treated fairly, everybody's compensated fairly, and all the way from the animals to the land, to the water, to the people involved in the processor, to us bringing it to you, to the delivery truck, that nobody's being exploited. That's Tree Range Farms.
That would be key. No exploitation of land or people or animals. Well, I believe one of the main reasons why you were selected to give one of the keynote talks at the Agroforestry Symposium that the University of Missouri recently put on is the fact that you are demonstrating what silvopasture looks like. Can you help our listeners see that?
Sure. Silvopasture, agroforestry, regenerative, I mean, these are all words, permaculture, given to this ancestral way of understanding how people have done different things. But basically, if you step a few yards back, all you see is transformation of energy in the landscape. That transformation of energy happens not in a linear, flat, acre-based measurement way, but rather in a three-dimensional space, where the space you have to you is as deep as the roots of the trees or the and as tall as the top of the canopy. And then within that three-dimensional space, energy is transformed continuously if you support the ecosystem. And so there is photosynthesis happening at the top and across. There is animal activity at the ground level, and then there is biological activity in the soil below. Those three places are simply places where energy is being continuously transformed. And then, sure, chicken is one of the outputs of energy that we harvest. And so within that space, perennial crops, forages at the ground level, trees, the animals, and all of that interact to optimize that energy transformation. Now, some people call that silvopasture. Some people call it agroforestry. What we name it is not as relevant as to what we're doing and why. And that is why I think these spaces are starting to invite people like me to come and validate the fact that those practices, we need to implement those practices on the land and keep scaling them up, because we got to put the biological systems back in place. But we got to make sure we don't make a mistake and think that, oh, so you got trees and you got pastures, so you are now in sync with nature, with the natural systems. Let's not make a mistake of concluding that, because regeneration, the way we understand it, is much more than just silvopasture. We're talking about ecosystem level ability of transformation of energy. And that ecosystem level happens when we aggregate all of these fragmented pieces of the ecology and we start building corridors. We do more than just put trees and grasses and put animals out there. So that's good, incredible. That's why I went to the conference and that's why I was invited, because that's important. But we got to keep always evolving in our understanding of what we need to do here.
I'm sure anyone who visits your farm and experiences it firsthand is able to see how the systems interact with each other so much more than they would ever really understand in a classroom. Do you work with students? Do you have them come out to your farm?
Quite a lot. In fact, I'm in Northfield, Minnesota, where there is, we call it a college town because there's two colleges here, St. Olaf and Carleton. And for as long as I lived here, I have been bringing students out to the farms and the farm where I live. The previous farm, which I developed all the way and matured completely, and its canopies and chickens interacting. And we used to sit under this big maple tree that got taken down by a fire. And I don't know how many people know about forest bathing, but trees emit literally hundreds of chemicals that I believe is over 550, according to some studies. And we are so in sync with those. Our brain is so in sync with those chemicals that we actually need the trees, need that ecology in order to be healthy mentally, and then, of course, physically and spiritually. And as we saw it in that space, you know, 20 yards from the chicken coops and the chickens ranging under the trees and everything, the observations that came from those students, I always ask them, the first question is, look around and tell me what you feel. Not what you see, but what you feel, because the feeling includes your hearing, your eyesight, and your senses. It's not just listening with one sense, but with all of them. And the persistent and repetitive responses were always, feels peaceful, is so quiet. Where are the chickens? How many chickens? 1,500 chickens out there under the trees. No way, that's impossible. I can't see, I can only see like a dozen. Those were the comments that kept coming back from those conversations. And then the fact that it always smells really good. It smells like chickens, of course, but you know, if you are not offended by the smell of farms and decomposing things and composting and all of that, that was a sweet smell. But the energy was always so positive. And I think we have to remember that at the end of the day, we are also just expressions of energy of the universe. And when we come in sync with that, which is what we do on the farm, we are happier. We are much better expressions of ourselves.
I couldn't agree more. I was just at a lecture on what value trees bring and how just 5 minutes with a tree is enough to reduce stress levels. I want to ask about your particular farm. You've planted 8,000 hazelnut trees. How did you decide on hazelnuts?
See, this is the back to the indigenous ways of believing and seeing and knowing. I literally, and may sound cliche or whatever, but I literally ask the organisms for what I should do. And I simply looked at the landscape and then walked the groves up north of hazelnuts and pines and oaks and elderberries that grew together. And I just sat there and among them and meditated about who they were. And as that happened, I also read books and listened to lectures from people, native folks especially, who knew more history and who had spoken to those creatures before and those relatives. And they told their story. Here, we need about 300 pounds of nitrogen per acre. We spread our roots up to 15 feet in total diameter around our trunks, and we grow up to 12 feet in height, and we produce a canopy that is 100% solid. No sun penetrates our canopy, and we don't grow in a way that we support aerial predators because we want to attract chickens underneath us. I mean, not chickens specifically, but birds so that they will poop under us because we need their nitrogen. And it just happens that chickens were also thinking about similarly. Where is there a other relative that would protect us from the sun and the predators that actually needs, can use the fact that we are not very good processors of feed. And because of that, we poop out a lot of the protein in the form of nitrogen that we are taking in. That conversation was happening right in front of me as we went there and meditated. And then we realized, well, the hazelnut wants to be planted where we want to grow chickens. They evolved together. They told us that. I haven't found a book that says that. They chose us. We didn't choose them.
And they are thriving together,
They do.
which speaks volumes.
Yeah, if you listen, they're talking. They're trying to tell us so many things. We're the ones who don't know, forgot how to listen, or not willing to anymore.
Or we perceive ourselves as being all-knowing, and I think your way of showing us thriving, regenerative alternatives is so valuable, Rahi. You also have planted ancestral grains on your farm, elderberries. You're going to have nuts and berries available for sale as well in the future.
Yes, the hazelnuts that we planted way back, like 15 years ago, already producing, and then we kept planting. Last year, we harvested a little bit more, like 1,000 pounds of clean nuts, kernels, like edible. And the 8,000 plus that I planted at the new farm is among over 200 maples and over 1,000 oaks as well, and hickory nuts. And every spring and fall, we are planting more. So it's not just one time. You keep replanting and planting new spaces. And eventually that place is going to look just like the big woods habitat that where we are in the middle of. And so bottom line is, when you think of all of this, what we are really truly doing is trying to transform the most energy possible so we can harvest the most energy possible. And when we do it like that, you will always exceed what any linear monoculture system could ever achieve.
Rahi, we just have a minute left. Do you have one last message for our listeners?
Yes, if consumers can start using their purchasing power when they buy their food to change the system, then the system will change. To the extent that we keep buying the stuff that poisons us, the system will keep poisoning us.
Thank you for providing us a choice in the marketplace, and thank you for helping us rethink the way we have been trained to look at agriculture. www.regenagalliance.org, where Rahi, you have provided a beautiful explanation with words to think about collectively. You've got the word humility, collectivism, resilience, abundance, innovation. All of these terms deserve our attention when it comes to thinking about regenerative agriculture. We've got to close. I want to thank our listeners for joining us. Remind everyone that Food Sleuth Radio is produced by Dan Hemmelgarn for KOPN in Columbia, Missouri. But most of all, I want to thank my guest, Mr. Reginaldo Haslett Marroquin. He is the co-founder and CEO of Tree Range Farms, based in Northfield, Minnesota, but with great information for farmers everywhere. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.